church.
Now, this is like, you know, I tell people that I'm preaching at a Rise this week. They're all very impressed. So I'm just telling more and more people. Somehow this is working for me, you know. It's a real blessing. I'm so honoured to be here, and I'm even more honoured that Pastor Jillian is in the house. She's like one of our favourite people in the world, and I love Pastor John and Pastor Jillian. I'm so excited to be here, so honoured. I love your kids. I hope they're here, and I'm believing God that they are, because they're awesome. And is that... Anyway, it is... Hello, people up there. You look outstanding. Do you know... I came here like for a visit like 4 years ago. I thought, I'm going to come to Wellington. I'm going to make an appointment with Pastor John to learn. And so I did. I learned a lot. And then we went to some meetings and different things. So I had some time to myself. So I went for a walk, Andy. And I was just walking around and I walked past here. And I prayed. I said, God, I would love to preach here one day. You know, in the last 12 months, I've been here 4 times. And so, be careful what you pray for. Maybe some of you are praying, we hope he never comes to preach here. I have greater faith. Now, the other thing I want to say about that is that I probably shouldn't have prayed as hard, because 4 times is a lot. I have other things to do. Like, I got a family. Honestly, it's one of the greatest honours of my life to preach in this church, and I'm so excited to be here. And you are impacting the world. Rise Church is not just a local church, though that is what it is, but it's a church with an apostolic mandate that's impacting the world, and I feel so privileged to be here. I love this house. I love being in this campus, because this is where it all started. You people have shaken New Zealand, and we honour you from Australia. It's a joy to be here. Those watching online, hello. If you wouldn't mind taking a minute, go to Craigslist. I've got a barbecue for sale. And really wouldn't mind you someone buying that. It's been up for a while. Are you clapping that? Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. If you have a Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. How many love Andy Simkin? I do. He's awesome. He's my best friend. He's on Instagram now. Andrew.Simkin01. Is posting good things here. Fishy posted this week. Fishing. Anyway, Mark chapter 6. It says this in verse 1. Actually, before we go there, I want to give some context around this story. Jesus had been ministering. Jesus' ministry is taking off. He's already healed a woman with an issue of blood. He's raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He healed a guy with leprosy. He healed a paralyzed man. He healed a paralyzed hand. I mean, he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness, but he came in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, his ministry was blowing and going. He was going, he was carrying the power of God. He was shaking things up, and he was getting ready to have an incredible impact on planet Earth, to which we are still affected today because of the power, the wonder-working power of Jesus. So Jesus is on the move, he's on the go, and he decides he's going to go back to Nazareth and preach. And so he goes back to his hometown, and the Bible says this in verse 1 of Mark chapter 6. I'm reading from the New King James this morning. It says, then he went out from there to his own country. Somebody say his own country. And his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honour, except in his own country, among his own relatives and in his own house. Now he could do... Now this verse is amazing, verse 5. There's so much in here. It says, he could do no mighty work there, except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. He marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He could do no major miracles. Matthew 13, 58 says, he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. He could do no mighty miracle. It doesn't say he wouldn't. Jesus didn't just like get in a bad mood and say, not today. If you're offended, I'm offended. We're just all offended. No miracles for you today. It wasn't that at all. Miracles and the supernatural of God happen in an environment of faith. And when faith is present, it lays a hold of the anointing of God. It lays a hold of the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this moment, there was a sin that was committed in these people called the sin of familiarity. Their familiarity cut them off from the supernatural power of Almighty God in that moment. And to be honest with you, when you look at the fruit of that, it says he could do no major miracles. He healed a few sick people. I think about my own church. We see breakthrough and we see God do things, but we're not seeing the miracles that the Bible promises. We're not seeing the fullness of the supernatural power of God that we see in the Word of God. And maybe, just maybe, there's a degree of familiarity in me or in other believers that maybe God wants to do more, but for whatever reason, we've allowed ourselves to become a little familiar with the presence, the power, the person of Jesus Christ, and we're not walking in the fullness of what he has for us. And I want to encourage you this morning and remind you that we serve a supernatural Jesus. And the Bible says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's the same as he's always been. What he did 2,000 years ago on the streets of Jerusalem, he can do right now. Oh man, that's good news on a Sunday morning. He's still alive. He's still supernatural. If he could cast out demons then, he can do it now. He's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. Man, that'll get you excited. That's good news. Aren't you glad we're on the winning side? Aren't you? Aren't you glad living for Jesus isn't dead and boring and dry, but he's alive? But familiarity, it robbed them of the fullness of what God has. And I want to stay close to this text this morning. But if you broaden the reach of what he's saying, familiarity is a bit of a risky thing. Familiarity in our marriages, familiarity in our jobs, familiarity in our relationships, familiarity with our own church. It's a big one because maybe today you're here and you need God to do something in your world and you're sitting here going, oh, it's just Sunday morning church. Right. Do you know everything you need from God is available in this atmosphere right now? And you know, there'll be people here today that'll leave this place totally changed by the power of God. Some will just leave and go, you know, it was a great service. The difference is not based on what's happening up here or what's happening among the leadership. Really, what you get out of today is going to have a lot to do with your faith to believe God. And if you believe in the power of God, nothing's impossible to those who believe. We serve a Jesus who pours out gifts and graces by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you dare to believe God, supernatural things can take place. In this, I don't know what time this service started, but it's a good one. Familiarity. Jesus, the word familiar means inappropriate informality because of knowing somebody too well. We get to know somebody and maybe we get familiar. It's like that with Jesus. We know his brothers and sisters. Surely it can't be him. Where does this guy get these familiarity? And what happened? He couldn't do miracles. One time, another story very similar. Jesus had been tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And the Bible says that he came back to his hometown and he started teaching. And what did he preach? He preached that famous message in Luke chapter 4 from Isaiah where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." I mean, it was a cracker sermon. I mean, we still preach it now. And Jesus then, he stops and he just says, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your midst." And they said, "Oh, it's just Joseph's son." But if you read further down in Luke chapter 4, he gets to Capernaum and he starts to preach. And as he's preaching, faith rises in their hearts. The Bible says they're astonished. The demon spirits are crying out, you've come to destroy us. What are you doing? And he ministers to people. Faith rises and they're left shouting the praises of God. Why? Because these guys were offended, but these guys were astonished and said, wow. Can I tell you, I still want to be enamored with God. I've been saved since I was born. My first words were tongues. I mean, it wasn't gaga, it was a heavenly language, man. It was supernatural. I grew up in church. I grew up in the house of God. Can I tell you, I love it more today than I ever did before. Maybe that's because I'm the pastor and I think I'm doing a good job, but it might be pride. Lord Jesus, help us. I want to talk to you a little bit about familiarity, the danger of familiarity, because I think it's something we can all fall into. Familiarity with God, familiarity with the house, familiarity with God's people. I want to encourage us today I pray we leave with a sense of, God, you're incredible. God, you're awesome. Just maybe a little bit of simplicity in our love for Jesus. I don't want to be childish, but I want to be childlike. I still want to believe he can heal and set free and deliver. You might be here today and the doctor's given you a bad report. Hey, we serve a God who is supernatural. We serve a God who is able and is in the house this morning. And I'm believing you can be made free by the grace of God. At the end of our message, you might not know Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to find him today and make him Lord of your life and see the hand of God reach in and change your life. And if you would humble yourself in the presence of God, believers, unbelievers, but if we could humble ourselves in the presence of God and go, Jesus, you are who you say you are. See, he's either a lunatic, he's either a liar, or he's Lord. We have to believe one of those three things about Jesus. Either he's just a crazy person saying crazy things, or he's lying to us, or he is the Lord of Lords. I know him as Lord of Lords, and he's changed my life. I mean, he's put my feet on solid ground. And this morning, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage us. Let's not be familiar, because four things happened in this story when they were familiar. When they were overly exposed to him and therefore chose not to place him in a place of honor. Number one, the first thing familiarity does, number one, is it denies his deity. Deity, the fact that he's God, denies his deity. I want to show you something in verse 2 of Mark chapter 6. It says this, they said this, where did this man get these things? In other words, they're like, well, how did he acquire this? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? They're saying, where did he get this power? Now, that might be just something we skim over, but I want to just show you something in the Word this morning and about God. If you've been to Bible college and you've studied the doctrine of God, you'll know that there are what they call the absolute attributes of God. I'm going to give you six attributes very quickly. If you want to be God, if you want to, you actually could if you possess these attributes. But the problem is you can't, because only God possesses them. These are the things you need to possess in order to be the God of heaven and earth. If you possess them, you're in with a shot. But, okay, here they are. And I'm going to try and remember them. I don't have them in my notes. Omnipresent, everywhere. Omniscient. He knows everything. Omnipotent, all-powerful, immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Eternal. He's always been, and he always will be. And then another one is, he is self-existent, meaning he doesn't need anything external to sustain him. Today, I'm on my fourth coffee. Because friends, I don't need much in this life. I need the Word of God. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. And I need a skim latte sent from the throne of God and from heaven, the nectar of heaven. I need food. I need water. I need the sun, which is something we have in Australia. And to be honest with you, I'm just teasing. Adelaide this week had the hottest day in the history of Adelaide. 46.2! Let me tell you, every sinner in Adelaide now believes there's a bad place. We had a citywide revival. If God needed the sun to sustain him, then the sun would be God. If he needed bread to sustain him, bread would be God. I find it interesting that they denied his self-existence just after he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Can I tell you, when it comes to God, he doesn't need external things. So therefore, when they said, where did he get this power? They were denying the fact that that power could actually come in and from him. They were looking, they're trying to, okay, he's moving in power. Where did he get this? He was that power. They didn't realize, yes, he may be the son of Mary, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily was within him. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the supernatural power of God, the Son of God. And then in Luke's version of a similar story, they said, is this not the son of Joseph? Now, we read past that, we don't realize how scandalous that accusation was. When pushed, they were basically saying, see, those rumors have always been true. That's true. Mary and Joseph, they're spinning us a story. So they denied his self-existence and denied his virgin birth. That's Joseph's. It's not Joseph's son. Joseph's stepson. It's the son of the Most High God. And not only is he the son of God, but he's also God the Son. And can I encourage you today, let's not minimize who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings. He is able to bring into your world everything that you need. Can you say amen at the 10 o'clock service online if you believe it? Shout. Your neighbors might think you're crazy. Number two, familiarity disallows greatness from rising within. It stops greatness from rising within. Verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? His sisters are here. I mean, he's got sisters. He can't be the son of God. He's like us. I feel like I do that sometimes. Somebody rises up in the call of God and we go, yeah, but that's just Bob. I've known him for years. His sisters, she's crazy. And so we discount what God can do in somebody because we know them. Does knowing someone negate what God can do in and through their life? I want to encourage you, let's not get familiar. Do you know there might be somebody that you would consider a peer that has something of God on the inside of them that could minister to your need? It could challenge your mindset. It could lift you up. It could minister to you. I feel like we're so good with honor these days in the church. We honor our pastors and our leaders, and it's so important. I live by that same conviction. But do you know honor also works horizontally? We honor our friends. I don't just honor you. I honor God on the inside of you. I honor the call of God on the inside of you. Why? Because if somebody, they may be a crazy person. They may be absolutely certifiable, but if they carry the anointing of God, obviously God sees them as somebody he can put his hand upon and use for the glory of God. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know that word earthen vessels means cracked pots? You might think that person's a total cracked pot. Well, there's a good chance God's going to use them. The Bible says God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That word foolish comes from the Greek word morenos. You know what word we get from that? Moron. Now, I don't want to be unkind, but you might be sitting here today looking at me preaching, going, that guy's a moron. Which is very unkind, but guess what? God can even use a moron. He can use a crazy person. He can use somebody that's messed up, jacked up, their life's a mess, but God can turn them around. Let's not keep people low. Let's believe that God raises people up in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God. This is good news. I'm inspired by my own message. Number three, familiarity is offended when the vessel isn't what we think it should be. Verse 3, they were offended at him. I've got a guy in my church called Mitch. For those that don't speak Australian, his name is Mitch. And Mitch is one of those Holy Ghost guys that pray all the time, that levitate when they sleep. If there's an altar call, Mitch will be at the altar call. The power of God's moving, Mitch is there. Mitch is just one of those people that know the Holy Spirit. And Mitch was telling me this story. He used to have a Valiant. Do you have Valiants in New Zealand? He used to have a Valiant with a bench seat, and he had a friend that he was driving the car, and his friend was deaf in his ear. In one ear, he was deaf. And as Mitch is driving the car, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, "Hey, I want you to blow in his ear. Because he's going to get healed." Which, it sounds spiritual, but the application of it is awkward. You're driving in a car with a bench seat. This is back in the 80s. Amy Grant is playing in the background. "Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? If you..." How many remember Amy Grant? How many remember Carmen? Oh, Jesus, I feel the anointing. That's when music was anointed. I don't really know what to say to get out of that. So there's Mitch. He's in the car. God says, "Blow in his ear." I think Mitch was wanting to be obedient, but had to consider how to actually execute this without looking like a weirdo. So he says to his mate, he pulls over, and he says to his friend, "I'm a Christian, and God told me I need to blow in your ear, and it's gonna get better." So he scooches over. He turns the music down, because music blowing in the ear, that's awkward. His ear just pops open. The guy gets saved. Can I say this? If you met Mitch, he's a good guy. But do you know how easy it would be to go, "I need a miracle from God"? Mitch might not be your first phone call. Not that there's anything wrong with Mitch. Mitch is a great guy. But the point is, sometimes we're looking for that healing evangelist. We're like, today, if I blow in your ear, you could get an ear infection. So you got a choice. You can have me or Mitch. We brought Mitch in today. He's going to come out in just a moment. He's gargled some Listerine. He's ready to go. Can I tell you, don't underestimate what God can do in the house with God's people. All you need to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God, plugged in. Oh, man, this is good news. Jesus is a supernatural God. Let's not keep people low. Let's lift them up in the name of Jesus. Number four, familiarity blocks the anointing from its full effect. Familiarity blocks the anointing from its full effect. It says in verse 5 here in Mark chapter 6, it says, "He could do no mighty work." Somebody say mighty work. He could do no mighty work. That mighty work, literally the word for mighty work is dunamis. It's the same word for power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. Divine supernatural ability or enabling. So when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, what happens? Dunamis comes upon your life. That power of God. Why is this church like it is? There's dunamis in this place. There's that supernatural ability of God to shake New Zealand under the hand of God. The reason I'm saying all of this morning is I want to encourage you to understand that there are supernatural things that we can miss out on when we get familiar. I don't want to get familiar with God. I still want to walk into church and say, "Wow. Oh, God, you are amazing. God, you're incredible. How did you do that? You are supernatural." Let's not get so pragmatic that we reduce God down and decide in our finite human minds how an eternal God of the universe can operate. He operates far better outside of our mindsets. He's supernatural. And when we're hungry after God and say, "God, we're fully dependent on your power, on your spirit, on your anointing." I don't want my view of who God is to be limited to a point where it limits the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I spoke at a youth camp this week, and You got an incredible team. It was my total honor to be with your young people. Teenagers are awesome because they don't have a million reasons why God can't touch them. They're just like, God's moving, boom, lift your hands. The power of God starts flowing. At what point do we grow up and get old and go, you know, oh, that was good for the youth? I had no responsibilities when I was a teenager. The power of God was just great. I'm an adult with responsibilities, bills, children. I need the anointing more now. I needed it then just to be a teenager on fire. Now I'm an adult with a church. Oh, no, I don't need that anymore. Yes, I do. More than ever. More than ever. When I first started trying to date Donna, I executed my strategies and they weren't great. In grade 9, my first attempt was to send her a Valentine's card. And it said this: Dear Donna, let me help you improve your image. Go out with me. She went out with Scott, and it hurt. And so about years later, I tried again. I thought I'm going to try and win her heart. So, you know, I used to do things like, she did uni in the city, so I'd be like, oh, I'm on my way to the city. I'll give you a ride at 6:30 in the morning. So I'd take her in. Now I'm married 9 years. So here's the bus timetable, sweetheart. They're every 15 minutes. I love you. I got this from the news agency. I used to, like, I'd go to the gym. Oh, Lord. I can't believe that. Now I know a guy called Jim. That's... For a number of years, I was giving to a gym financially, but not turning up. Which is a lot like some Christians. They give online, but they forget to actually come. But not here. Not here. Just Adelaide. Remember one time she was doing calisthenics. Like, it's like ballet. Like that. That's how it goes. I went. Now? Nah. I'm not going. Why? Because I'm not going. Now, I love her a lot. But the things you do in the early days when you're just like mad as a rabbit in love, how easy is it to get familiar even in your marriage? Like, I'm not lying, I would not do those things now. I'm not going to any dance at all. I feel like sometimes with God, remember when you first got saved? You heard everything. Oh God, you're amazing! The sermon you hear, that's the best sermon I've ever heard, which I know a lot of you are thinking that today, but it's because I've been doing this for a few years, so I've gotten better, I've improved. Lord, I need your help this morning. I think we get familiar with God. The Bible talks in the book of Revelation, there's 7 churches in Revelation. They got all a little naughty. God's like, okay, we need to deal with this. So he writes some strongly worded letters through John to the church at Laodicea. You're just worldly. You're just depending on your own strength. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. But you haven't invited me in, you church at Laodicea. The church of Philadelphia, you've done pretty well. Then he talks to the church at Ephesus. And he says, this is about the church at Ephesus. He says, verse 2 of Revelation 2, he says, I know your works, your labour, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they're apostles, they're not, and you found them liars. He says, that's good. He said, you persevered, you've had patience, you've laboured for my name's sake, and you've not become weary. He's saying, you're a good church. You're good people. I've got the sniffles. We're going to pray in a minute for the sick. And he says this, he says, you do all those things well, but he goes, I do have one thing against you. He says, you've lost your first love.
I mean, you started in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how that church started? Paul comes to Ephesus. He lays hands on some people that have been baptized in water, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Timothy gets set on fire. That church explodes. And he's saying, come back to that. Come back to that. Those days, it wasn't this pumping church. You were just wild people passionate for me. And he says, come back to that. Come back to your first love. I think that's really a word for me, you know. I want to get hungry for God and be hungry for God more than I've ever been. I want to fall in love with my Bible again. Look forward to being in His presence in prayer. Come to church hungry and believe that God wants to do something. Can I encourage you? It's easy for us to get familiar with God. It's easy for a church like this that's so powerful and alive with the power of God to carry us spiritually. But what about Monday through Saturday? Can I encourage you? Let's lose our familiarity with God and come back and say, God, I want to love you like I did the day I got born again. Do you remember the day you got saved? You walked outside and said, that's the bluest sky I've ever seen. That is the greenest grass I've ever seen. Look, a flock of seagulls, they doth flutter. Glory be to Jesus. And every altar call, you'd come forward. Even if it was for like a woman with a neck problem. You're like a 15-year-old guy and you've got no neck problem. That's me, glory to God. You would lie for the anointing. I did that once. I pretended to be a new Christian's counsellor so I could get good seats at a Benny Hinn meeting. Then he went for souls and I got stuck out the back counselling someone I had no training. So I hope they're going to heaven. Good decision. I'm going to get back out for the miracles. Now, when you get a new car and someone comes in with like a coffin and you watch them like a hawk, well, have you got a coffee in my car? If you spill that coffee, I'm going to have to sell this car. And it's got that new car smell and it's just wonderful. Then after a couple of years, you're just pouring coffee all over it. Like when I get a new car, I won't even let my kids in it. I tow them. In like a trailer, like I got those ropes with the hooks on them, and so they're safe. They're fully safe. In fact, no circulation, but they're safe. I've got off topic, and there's a sign saying "Salvation Altar Call." Does that mean I need to do that now? Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I didn't know if we had 35 plus Salvation Altar Call or including, so I'm confused. It'll be short. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Let's stand. Do we sit for the altar call here or stand? I don't know. I'm confused. It was going well, and now I've just been thrown. I have 7 minutes. Okay, it says next. So can you give me an indication of what I need to do now? Can I pray for people for this? I feel like the creative team here are very organised. It's not them, it's me. That's the problem. Hey, let's stand for a minute, because I want to pray for people. I want to pray for two things. I just do feel like maybe there's people sick in your body this morning. I want to just pray for a miracle for you. And don't be all like, oh yeah, but it's just church. Nah, God the Holy Ghost is in the house. The angels of heaven. It's a high roof. There's a few of them up there. If you're in the house today, you're sick in your body. Maybe the doctor's told you you've got something bad and there's nothing they can do. That might be the facts. But Brother Harry, the truth and the facts are two different things. The facts might be you're sick, but the truth is we serve a miracle-working Jesus. And He's in the house. And maybe you're sick in your body this morning. Oh, bless God, I'm excited. Hey, I don't know what your situation is, but you need a physical miracle. Just shoot your hands up to heaven. We're going to believe God. Lord, we come against sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Lord, we take dominion in the Holy Ghost. Lord God, we believe that nothing's impossible. And Lord, I speak to sick bodies right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare right now, be made whole by the power of God. We break sickness and we break disease. We come against it in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare that you are a miracle-working God, a God who is able.
a God who is supernatural. And Lord God, we come before you right now by faith in Jesus' name. We break the power of it in Jesus' name. And the church said together, amen. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm trying to quit smoking. Just pray for me. Now, before we go any further, I want to say this. I want to speak to the most important group of people in the room. And so I'm going to talk to you in 1 second. The other thing I want to say is tonight, we're here again in the Michael Fowler Center, the MFC. And we're going to have church tonight. It is going to be like old school Holy Ghost, power of God. I'm even going to wear my comfy pants because anything could happen. I feel like it's going to be a night of Holy Ghost power. If you know someone that doesn't know Jesus, bring him. Maybe you're a bit dry. Come Sunday night, we're going to pray for the river of God to flow into your world. I'm believing God that God's going to touch people. And God's going to... I want to encourage you. Maybe you don't come to Sunday night church all the time. Just come tonight, you know. And say, I'm coming hungry. I'm believing God for something. I feel like God's going to do something in the house. Last time I was here, there was a big whale in the water and the whole city stopped. Like, service stations were closing. But tonight, there's no whale, so you can be in church. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you might be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're not serving Jesus like you should. Maybe you're lost and you need Jesus. Maybe you're not born again. Maybe Christ is not the center of your life. Maybe at one point you walked with God, you served Jesus, but today you're not living like you should. And you know that you need to come back to Christ. You know that you need to get your life right with Jesus. If you're in the house today, I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to give you an opportunity to meet Jesus. Maybe you're lost. Today you can be found. Maybe you're away from God. Can I tell you today, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. And I just want to say to any person here, if you don't know Jesus, today Jesus Christ can come into your world. The Bible says he'll shed abroad the love of God in your heart. And you might be here today and you're lost. But my prayer today is you'd leave this place knowing Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. I pray that you leave this place today knowing that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus Christ is alive on the inside of your heart. And if you're here today and you'd say, David, I need to give my heart to Christ. I need to get saved. I'm lost and I need Christ to come into my world. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you'd say, David, that's me. I need to get saved. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you slip your hand up so I can see who you are? I won't embarrass you, but I'm so grateful. Back there, you can put your hand down. Is there anyone else today that would say, David, pray for me. I need to get my heart right with God. All over this room, lift it high so I can see it. There's a hand over there. Is there anybody else that would say, David, pray for me. Lift your hand high. God bless you. You can put it down. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else that would say, David, today's my day. On the floor, in the balcony, wherever you are in this house, just raise your hand so I can see who you are. Again, I won't embarrass you. There's a hand there. You can put it down. Thank you so much. Back there, God bless you. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else that would say, David, pray for me. I need to get my heart right with God. All over this room, is there anyone else that would say, today's my day? You know, for those that lifted their hand, I want to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of invitation. You know, I used to always call it the sinner's prayer. Now I call it the beginner's prayer. It's a prayer to get started in your journey of faith. And I'm going to pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud with me. Repeat it after me. Church, I'm going to ask you if you do the same. And we're going to pray this together. And we're going to pray it in faith. I can't pray for you. I'm simply just giving you some words to say to help you connect with Jesus. Let's pray this together this morning in Jesus' name. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for my sins, for the things I've done, and for the way I've lived. Please forgive me. Wash me and cleanse me with your precious blood. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus Christ. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and he's alive right now. From this very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul and I make him the Lord of my life. And according to his word, I am washed, I am cleansed, I'm forgiven. And I'm born again in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Come on, let's make a joyful noise unto God. going to hand back. Let's just lift our hands all over the house if you want to do that. I want to just pray for a fresh anointing for every person. Because maybe you've got to a point in your world where maybe you'd say, David, talking to me, I have got a little bit familiar. Just got a little bit, maybe just not as enamored with the power of God as I've been. I'm just going to ask God for a fresh touch. Holy Spirit, thank you for your anointing. Lord God, thank you for the touch of heaven upon every person. Lord, let great grace and a fresh anointing be upon every person in this house. Lord, I pray for every person's a part of a rise. Lord, I thank you for a fresh day of the power, the presence, and the anointing of God in the name of Jesus. Can somebody give Jesus a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope it was an encouragement to you. If you'd like to know more about David and Donna, please visit our website, davidhall.com.au.